Good morning, Portland.
Hi, everybody. I'm puzzle fiend and professional mathlete, Richard Molina.
And I am avid indoorsman, Angela Weber.
And you're listening to Nerd Portland Radio, the show where we talk about games, science fiction, fantasy, books, comics, and science, and all the nerdy stuff you can do here in Portland.
All of it. This week, we went to see the new X-Men movie with local comedian and huge X-Men fan Barbara Holm.
After that, we take guitar lessons in a video game, and we review the newest installment of the best-selling Dresden Files.
Welcome to the premiere of Nerd Portland Radio.
All right, today we start with a field trip.
That is correct. We went to see X-Men Days of Future Past, and we brought a local expert.
Barbara Holm is a stand-up comedian here in Portland, performing all around town and hosting her own shows, and she is also a big X-Men fan.
She's a nerd. She's a huge nerd, and I don't think she would be ashamed for me to call her that. We took her to see the X-Men film to get her perspective on the whole thing.
Barbara Holm, we are about to see X-Men Days of Future Past right now. I want to describe briefly that you are wearing a Kitty Pryde t-shirt at this moment.
Yes, I am. Okay. Just one, though.
Just one? How many Kitty Pryde t-shirts do you own?
I own two.
Okay. And did you wear that when you saw it on Friday also?
I wore the other one. It's now dirty. This is the clean one. Thanks for knowing it was Kitty Pryde, Angela.
Of course I do. Yes. So tell me about Kitty Pryde.
Kitty Pryde is a mutant. She is a Jewish. Those two things are not related. She is usually portrayed as like 14, 15, 16 years old, like a young person, but now she's an adult in the comic books. She has the power to phase or make herself intangible and move through solid objects. And she's funny.
And she has a dragon?
She doesn't own the dragon. She and the dragon are friends, and they have a telepathic link, but it's not like the dragon's her pet. They're like buddies.
Okay, but it's like a small, it's a small purple dragon.
Yes.
Named Lockheed.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you liked the other X-Men movies?
Yeah.
That have been made?
They're good.
For movies?
Yeah, they're good movies. Okay. I didn't love the third one, but...
Okay, there it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your expectation going into this movie? Because I know that the book stars Kitty Pryde, correct?
Yes, I brought it with me if you wanted to show your listeners.
Please show us the book.
Yeah, this is what I think is so interesting is here's when kind of the Days of Future Past storyline starts. Mm. And look, Kitty, she's everywhere. She's all over it. That's a Mystique, but see, like, she's kind of the main character.
Right.
And it's different in the movies. So.
It's different in the movies.
I understand this is not a visual medium. I'm sorry,
no,
listeners.
No, it's okay. I can understand what's happening. So your expectation going in, were you hoping that she would be the star, or did you kind of already...
I read the spoilers. I knew that she wasn't going to be the star.
Okay.
So I was a little disappointed, and I understand that Hollywood is wrong sometimes, and they make mistakes, and they think that Wolverine sells more toys, because he probably does, but... So they made him the star, and they took out a lot of the women characters from the books.
Yeah.
But
that's a pattern in the Hollywood. All right, well, let's get in there and watch a movie and see how we feel. All right, we just got back to the house. We saw X-Men. I've been trying to not ask you. What'd you think?
Me?
Yeah.
I loved it. Thank you so much for taking me, Angela.
You're welcome.
It was really, really, really good.
Awesome.
See, in the books, Kitty's, it's a senator, not a scientist, but Kitty saves him, see? This is my proof, I mean.
Kitty saves, oh, instead of?
Wolverine.
What scientist? Who is he? Is he
Peter Dinklage?
Okay. He doesn't have a mustache.
Mustache is amazing.
Why did they change that? That's what bothers me. Okay, Barbara Holm.
Are we recording now?
Yes, we are recording right now. Barbara Holm.
Hi, Angela.
You are a comedian.
Yes, aspiring.
Aspiring comedian. You are also an artist. You are also a fan of X-Men. How long have you been doing comedy, stand-up comedy?
4 years.
4 years.
Ish, yeah.
And you were doing that in Seattle, and then you came to Portland.
Yes.
Not too long ago. And you produced shows here in town. You put on shows.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the shows that you put on?
I have a show every other Monday, the first and third Monday, at Eastburn called It's Gonna Be Okay. And it's a stand-up show, and it's really, really good.
Yeah. And can you, like, there's a lot of stand-up shows in town. Can you tell me, like, what your philosophy is behind putting that one together specifically?
Well, I've always booked the kind of comics that I want to see. And that just happens to be really, really funny, nice people with not awful social values. Mm-hmm. And I give away prizes and candy.
When did you... I asked how long you've been doing comedy, but, like, when was the first time you went up on stage to do comedy?
It was... I know it was January 3rd because it was a New Year's resolution.
Oh, wow.
And I had been wanting to do it for a really, really long time, but I was scared of doing it. I feel like Richard's not talking enough.
Richard, how do you feel about doing comedy?
I think I would actually need a New Year's resolution. That's terrifying. Wow.
Yeah.
I had a notebook full of jokes that I had been writing for a really long time, and I just carried it around with me. And then I had a professor who used to be a comedian, like a road comic, and then he ended up teaching rhetoric and communication, which is kind of, it makes sense. And so I showed him my book of jokes, and he was like, these are fine, go to an open mic. And then I did, and it worked out really, really well.
Yeah, so the first mic went well?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just kept doing
it? I kept doing it forever until I stopped doing it. I don't know how time works anymore because of the time travel.
And then you went back in time and restarted doing then, it.
Yeah,
again.
Just because it was so great, I didn't change anything.
how does it feel for you to be up on the stage telling jokes?
It makes me feel really alive. Sometimes I can feel like I'm really helping people and I'm easing their day and making them feel better about life. And that feels awesome. Sometimes I feel like people hate me and they don't want to hear anything I say, especially like political things. But sometimes I think they think I'm annoying. So sometimes it sucks. But for the most part, I really love it. And I think that it's a good thing to want to make people happy and to want to make people laugh. I think that that's a nice thing that we do in the world. You do it.
Yeah, I'm great at it.
Yeah, you're really funny.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, those are the names of your shows, right? It's Gonna Be Okay and Be Happy Now, Please. I liked that a lot. And it's like, yeah, that's a good message to get away from mm-hmm. it.
Thank you.
Take away from a show. It's just like, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
You got it. Let's jump back to the beginning of X-Men with you. Like, when did you first encounter X-Men?
I guess I got introduced to it with the 90s cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you were a kid at that point?
I was a kid. I was a child. I'm now not so much of a child.
Okay. The passage of time has increased your age.
Yes.
Do you know what appealed to you at the time about X-Men?
That's a really good question. I know what I'm supposed to say, but...
No, don't tell me what you're supposed to say.
When I was really little, I just liked that it was... that people had magic powers and they did cool things and they helped people and no one was really good or bad. None of the main characters were really evil. They were just confused and they were trying to help, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I started reading the comic books in the later 90s when I was really getting into Buffy the Vampire Slayer
mm-hmm.
because Joss's inspiration for Buffy was Kitty Pryde, and so so that's when I started reading the comic books.
Uh-huh. And what kind of person were you when you got into Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
I was a super, super, really cool goth 14-year-old with pink hair, and I had an I didn't take any from the man.
Yeah.
And I read a lot of books. It was very quiet.
So was X-Men the first comic you picked up then, or?
No, I was reading, I started reading comic books, but I would just read, like, I read a lot of Batman, actually, when I was really little.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I started reading comic books when I was about 4. Mm-hmm. My brother and I, we were, I remember I was probably, like, 6 or something, and my parents went and they got comic books, and they brought us about comic books, and they had like a bunch of Archie comic books for me and Batman for David. Uh-huh. That's my brother. And we just like, we're like, well, let's just switch.
Mm-hmm. And so you said when you were a kid, you liked the cartoon when you started watching it because they were people with magic powers and there was no, you know, good or evil. And that, is that the reason you still stick with it, with these people? Or are they the characters that you've just grown up with and you love?
Part of it's really cool that I've grown up with these characters and that I love them. But I also, I think it's really awesome that there's so many women who are strong and the main characters in X-Men. I think it's cool that the people work as a team, and that's not the case for most comic books. I like that, I like there's a lot of people of color. I like that there's a lot of queer people. And I enjoy that, like, Scott, for example, is sometimes good and sometimes evil. And it's, like, and when I say evil, I mean, like, he's in the...
Who's Scott?
Scott Summers. He's Cyclops.
Okay, Cyclops.
He is, he'll be in the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. But it's, like, he's not technically evil. He's just misguided and upset and sad and angry at the world. And he's taking it out on human beings. And it's kind of... it's probably everybody knows this. It's like a metaphor for racism. Mm-hmm. And not Scott, but it's a metaphor for like Charles Xavier is supposed to be Martin Luther King and Magneto is supposed to be Malcolm X. And it's like, oh, nobody likes racism. And they're all pro-mutant rights. Just Martin Luther King Jr. had a more...
nonviolent,
yes, peaceful way to try. Interesting. To do it.
When you do choose the comics that you read with this or any other series, what do you like about the comics that you read, and why do you choose them, and will you keep reading them if, like, what makes you keep reading them? I guess
I'm usually drawn to books with female leads because they're easier to put myself in their place.
Mm-hmm.
And I like ones that are funny and the characters are relatable, not completely invulnerable.
Mm-hmm. As not a comics person, it's like there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Right? And you have to, like, the comic book you have with you right now, there's a storyline in there from 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So you go back in time and read the old ones?
Not literally, but...
Okay. That is a good clarification. Days of Future Past was apparently written in 1980 or something like that. And so you were just curious about that, or you were like, I need to catch up? And
Because I knew that it was one of the first stories that Kitty got to be the main character. Mm. I bought it. And I'll do that because there's a lot of stories that... Because, yeah, I'm not reading every single X-Men, but there's some stories where the main character is Kitty or Jean or Rogue or Pixie, and I'll be like, oh, cool, and then I'll pick up that book.
Okay, so you already saw Days of Future Past, X-Men Days of Future Past. We just saw it.
It was so good!
To recap, there were people in it, and they were mutants.
Yes.
That was good. That was the plot.
Okay, so how do you feel about the movie? We talked about this a little bit beforehand.
It was a really well-done movie. Good acting, good action sequences. I like all the actors a lot. I thought it was well-written. I thought it was super funny. Looked cool.
It did look cool. I agree. But, like, you read the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously you're not, like, a purist. It doesn't ruin it for you. When it's not what the comic says. But in the comic, Kitty Pryde is the one who gets to travel through time.
Yeah. And there's... and Storm is more involved, and there's more women involved in the books in general, but in the movie it was basically Xavier and Magneto and Beast and Wolverine having, like, fighting about what should we do with Mystique, and she didn't really get much of a say in the matter.
Mm-hmm. All right, my last segment here, which Richard will help me with, is word association.
All right.
So let's, we just have a list of words, and you can, like, say one word, or it's gonna be okay.
I'm freaking out.
Be happy now, please. And if you don't,
okay. I didn't study for this part.
Okay, it's gonna be right. I'm gonna say a word, and then just say whatever comes to your mind.
Anything?
Yeah.
Okay.
A word, a phrase, a story, a just anything.
Okay.
Ideally, this is gonna be fun.
Yeah, that's
okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. Well, if you came up with it, it'll probably be fun.
Ready? X-Men.
Awesome.
Kitty Pryde.
Adorable.
Wolverine.
Angry.
Magneto.
Mean.
Rogue.
Sad. Women. I'm just saying their characteristics. Did you say women?
That's
the next one. Yeah. Me.
There you go. Marvel.
Less.
Marvelous.
Ooh, that's good. DC?
Wonder Woman?
She's cool. I like the double click song about her.
Aw.
So much stuff I get to edit out of that.
Oh, wait. Am I not supposed to do that?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Portland.
Portland's amazing. I love the comedy scene and the human beings, and Portland's a very magical fairyland.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about Portland's comedy scene.
It's so good.
Versus, like, other comedy scenes in other cities in Seattle. And, like, can you explain what it is like?
Portland has an amazing comedy scene full of wonderful, smart, hilarious people who are trying really hard. They're trying their best to be funny, and they're trying to do a good job for the audience's sake, not for themselves. It's not like an ego trip. Like, they're just genuinely trying to do a good job. And we have some wonderful role models like Ron Funches and Ian Carmel and Riley Newton to, like, look up to. And so it inspires us, I think, to try to be the best that we can be. And everybody is really creative and unique.
It's great. I mean, I didn't have any idea, like, really about the comedy scene until I started doing the show and trying to book comics. And then we're like, oh, wait, like, literally every night you can go to a free comedy show in Portland. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be an open mic and it might be super weird, but it'll be awesome.
I'm glad you think that open mics are awesome. Sometimes they're not.
At least somebody is going to say something that you take home with
you.
I remember that one comedian we saw that came up from Eugene, and he was so excited about the Portland crowd. He loved it.
Aww. Yeah.
It's really fun. All right. Last word association. Books.
There's so many things that you could say about books. Books are the best thing in the world. I escape into them instead of having real relationships. Go books.
That's perfect. So, Barbara Holm.
Angela Weber.
You do comedy here in town. You have a show on first and third Mondays called...
It's Gonna Be Okay.
You can be found on Twitter at...
Barbara_Holm.
And you like X-Men.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Angela and Richard.
All right, thanks to Barbara Holm for going to see X-Men with us. Please go see Barbara's shows at 8:30 on the first and third Mondays of the month at East Bern.
You can also see her at the Waypost on June 14th, and all of those shows are free.
Excellent.
Moving on to the part of the show where we talk about what we're doing. Richard, what have you been up to?
I killed some kids with a sword.
You killed some kids with a... Oh, you... Yeah. So, Richard, you are a math teacher.
That is correct, yeah.
And so I assume in that capacity that involved killing children today, what happened?
I had to sub today for our Boffer PE class, so mm-hmm.
That's an official PE class.
Yeah, that's a class. And we attack each other with foam weapons.
Okay.
And one of the kids was trying to get me to play with him, and he didn't realize that I took fencing in college. And so I killed him, and then I cut another kid's leg off.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And you were undefeated?
I lost an arm, and then we called that a draw.
That's fantastic. Yeah, it was good. All right. Well, what have you been reading these days?
I just started Skin Game by Jim Butcher, who was just actually at Powell's this week promoting it.
And this is part of a series?
Yeah. Jim Butcher writes the Dresden Files series.
And how would you describe the series in a sentence or less?
Okay, that's tough. Butcher wanted to call the first book Semi-Auto Magic, to kind of put this detective feel, this gritty pulp detective together with a magician. So he's a professional wizard / private detective in Chicago.
So it's like a modern magic, like a Harry Potter kind of thing? Or is it...
Well, he's not quite as cute as Harry Potter. He's more like a modern Merlin, and he cracks jokes like Spider-Man, which is pretty cool.
So what's the latest book about?
Okay, so all the books have these crazy different villains in them, and this one is specifically about these fallen angels called the Denarians, who are tied to these Roman coins, and they're the supervillains of the series. But Queen Mab is in there, too. It's complicated.
All right, would you recommend it?
Absolutely. The problem is it's the 14th book in the series.
Okay, so if somebody wants to get caught up, there was actually a TV series, right? Would that be a good way?
There was a terrible show on Sci-Fi. It was really bad. It was great. Sorry, Jim Butcher. It was a little cute, and it was all about saving children and being happy.
So as a purist to the books, you were not a fan?
Not so much. Okay. But it is a good way to get like the basic characters down.
Okay, or I could like read up on Wikipedia, or should I start at the top, do you think?
I think you could probably jump in. His style is really straightforward, so all the books are kind of standalone, but they're really good. They're really fast reads. I would totally start from the beginning and just go all the way through 14.
All right, I will check out Skin Game by Jim Butcher.
All right. Well, let's talk about you, Angela. What are you doing these days?
That's a great question. I am all over the place. I'm currently playing a game called Rocksmith 2014.
Okay, and this is the one that's kind of like Guitar Hero and then Rock Band and now...
Yeah, it's a lot like that, except you actually use a real electric guitar or an electric bass. And Rocksmith itself was a game that came out a few years ago. This is Rocksmith 2014, which has actually perfected this, I think. It's a lot better than when they first started trying to use a real guitar as a controller.
Sure, okay. Angela, you're in a band. Don't you know how to play guitar?
That's a great question. I do. I am in a band, and but you always need to be practicing, right? And
okay.
I am not a person that likes to practice, and I'm also not a person that likes to take guitar lessons. Just because of, leaving my house.
Okay.
And B, I don't know, I've like bad influences from taking violin lessons as a kid, and then now guitar teachers are like these bro-y dudes that I can't handle.
Got it.
So I love Rocksmith because it takes all of the amazing gamification of a video game and makes it into basically the ultimate video game, I think.
Okay, I like this word gamification.
Yeah.
So, ultimate video game.
Yes.
Okay, what do you mean by that exactly?
Okay, well, so you know when you're playing a video game, like you're shooting zombies or something, and then you keep dying and going back to the beginning of the level, and you're like, I am wasting my time, this is horrible, this game is broken, and that guy keeps coming out and killing me at the last minute, and it's not about skill, and I'm so mad, you know, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally.
Well, the exact same thing happens in Rocksmith, except while you're doing that, you're also learning how to play, like, power chords.
Oh,
and you're actually, like, honing a skill that's not just pressing a bunch of buttons on a controller at once. You're actually, like, learning how to play the guitar. It's perfect. It was made for me.
All right. I think I could get into that.
I highly recommend Rocksmith. And that concludes our reviews this week. Okay, nerds.
Now it's time for us to recommend some events for you in Portland.
This Saturday, I think you should head to Live Wire Radio, which is a variety show that is taped right here in Portland. May 31st, which is this Saturday, robotics engineer and author of Robopocalypse, Daniel H. Wilson, is featured on the program, along with hilarious comedian and movie nerd Cameron Esposito. Find out more on the LiveWire Radio website.
All right, and next Thursday, check out the second annual Geeks and Giggles Art Show. at the Fleeting States Gallery in Old Town.
Geeks and Giggles.
I love that name. All the artwork is inspired by something out there in the nerd canon of video games or sci-fi or movies or comics or, you know, whatever else we're geeks are doing.
The show features work by our guest this week, Barbara Holm.
That's right. Plenty of others as well, including curator Sienna Morris, who makes awesome paintings out of numbers.
Yes, you've probably seen her at Saturday Market. They're That's cool right. and science and mathy. It's great.
All over the place.
You can find out more about the Geeks and Giggles art show at, we love that name a lot, on the Fleeting States Gallery website at fleetingstates.com. Thank you all very much for listening to the first episode of Nerd Portland Radio on X-Ray. I am Angela Weber.
And I'm Richard Molina.
And we hope you have a great week.
Would you rather have light or invisibility? Or would you rather be a brave blind man with the power to see? Would you rather be able to rapidly change your size? Or would you rather be able to squirt blood out of your eyes? That would be the worst superpower ever. The worst superpower ever. That would be the worst superpower ever. Would you rather stop time or never need to breathe? Or would you rather have your one weakness be a really common thing? What if you were lactose intolerant but could make things taste like cheese? Or if you had the power to induce a slight fatigue, that would be the worst superpower ever. The worst superpower ever. That would be the worst superpower ever. Would you rather have an extra hand or run real fast and far? Or would you rather be a really rich dude with a super awesome car? Would you rather have the power to create an invisible chair? Or the ability to always predict what someone else will wear? That would be the worst superpower ever. The worst superpower ever. That would be the worst superpower ever.